Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Dobry vecher. Buongiorno. Buonasera. In every language, I say hello. In every language, we say hello. And in every language, we're speaking with the voice of peace. You know me as the voice, the Kabbalah of the voice. Many, many know my books. But very few people that know me also know my involvement with an organization called Running on Love. And my guest host, Lori Michel, is the founder of Running on Love. I think it's important that we understand a few things before we actually begin our conversations with God. This is not a technical show. This is a show of deep emotion, of deep understanding, of deep love, of deep connection to the listening of the inner voice, to the conforming to a standard of integrity, which to me is extremely important, and I know to Lori is as well. It's extremely, extremely important. And I mentioned this again, and I will mention it and continue to talk about this without ending, that there must be a total respect for the integrity of this show. Today, there won't be conversation with people calling in from other places around the world. In future shows, there will be, today there will be an introduction of where we're going, what we're doing, what we're looking to accomplish, and how we're going to build this line of communication between us and God. My book, my books, The Voice, A Spiritual Approach to Singing, Speaking, and Communicating, the last one being The Kabbalah of the Voice. My last book revealed the secret code of the voice in the Zohar, basically tells you and has told you over the last 17 years since the first book came out, where I stand, what my own personal connection is to the inner voice, how I hear it, how I'm guided by it in my teaching. But what you don't know, basically, is who Lori Michel is and what my connection with her is, where we're going together, and why I decided to take on this conversation. By three methods, we may learn wisdom. First, by reflection, which is the noblest. Second, by imitation, which is the easiest. And third, by experience, which is the bitterest. We've all had our experiences. We're living in a world, single moment of every single day, horror and pain and misery occurs. Sometimes we hear about it, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're involved with it and sometimes we're not. Sometimes we close off everything because we just don't want to hear it, and because it interferes with our lives, and because we just want to live peacefully and quietly and without complication, growing our families, having joy and happiness in a world that certainly offers every possibility for everything that you could possibly imagine, but there is so much that we look at in a very superficial way, that we don't look at really looking at it and saying, what is this all about? Why are people killing? Why are people devastating? Why are natural disasters occurring? Why is technology giving us the opportunity to be there at a moment's notice? Not in 20 years from now, we'll know that there was a horrible train wreck today in Italy and so many people were killed. Or a young student from America went to do a summer learning program in Italy and he was killed on his first night and found in the Tiber River. Why a young girl of 13 years old was murdered in her bed? Why? And sometimes it's too much to take, and I understand it, and we all understand it. And ultimately, we don't know where to go. Ultimately, we don't have an answer. And ultimately, you and I feel powerless to do anything. What can I do that people are dying? What can I do that in Texas, people are being killed, police are being killed, blacks are being attacked, whites are being attacked? What can I do? What can I do? Where do I go? Where do I find the strength inside of me to get up in the morning and to teach my students? Where do I find answers? I find answer in praying. I find answers with God. I find strength with God. I find strength with listening. I find strength in teaching the voice, which is what I do. And I think at this moment would be the appropriate moment to introduce Lori Michelle, the founder of Running on Love, and ask her first to welcome her.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you, Miriam.
And then, of course, to ask her, how do you run on love? How do you run on love?
Well, maybe the more appropriate question to ask me so I can answer that question would be, what is Running on Love and how did it ever become a charity? What exactly is Running on Love? 7 years ago, I recognized and found out I was going profoundly deaf. The journey into deafness started right around 9/11, and I recall that I started losing my hearing right around 9/11 because of the tragedy of the Twin Towers and the planes crashing in and killing all the people. And I remember watching all the news reports while I was struggling with hearing loss. Well, I flash forward, found myself in the year 2009 going clinically deaf. I was told by an audiologist, Lori, you're going deaf. I can no longer help you with hearing aids. You need to see a specialist. And I was the breadwinner of a family of five, and I crumbled under the pressure. So I started praying the way I always had since I was a small child. I always had a deep faith in God, but I was never religious. I never followed religious law or practice. I just was very spiritual, and I believed in a higher power. And at this juncture, I was crumbling. So I reached for God in a way that I had never imagined I ever would in my life. And I started praying to him silently inside. And you, Miriam, talk about the inner voice. Well, I was using my soul, my entire being, and reaching for God and saying, God, please help me. And I also reached for a special prayer that you know of, Miriam. As a Jewish woman who was born Jewish, I had heard about this prayer called the Shema, and I really didn't know what it was. So I started saying it over and over again. And one auspicious morning in April of 2009, I woke up to a male voice saying to me, go get pen and paper and start writing this down.
Hold one second.
Yes.
Are you Jewish?
Yes.
Oh, you are Jewish.
Yes,
okay.
I am. Sorry.
So you were actually born Jewish, but you had absolutely no connection to what would be a traditional Jewish upbringing.
No. Okay. Well, traditional in a secular American way.
Okay.
I was born in Brooklyn, raised in New Jersey, and my experience of being Jewish, or my knowledge, was really from the movie.
Uh-huh.
Charlton
okay.
Heston and the Ten Commandments.
All right.
You know,
sounds great.
If I went to services once a year, that was a big deal. I really wasn't a practicing.
So basically, when you woke up to this voice that said, take paper and pencil and write this down, what was your first thought?
Well, 2 weeks prior to this morning, I had a vision, a dream. I had experienced those kinds of visions and dreams my whole life. I never made much of it. But 2 weeks prior to this morning, I had a very prophetic dream that I was doing something called automatic writing that I had heard about. And something was taking over my hand and writing in this dream or this vision. And so when this morning, when I woke to this voice telling me to go get pen and paper and start writing this down, I immediately thought of that dream that I had 2 weeks prior. So I wasn't frightened. I thought, wow, maybe this is that. Maybe this is the reason I had that dream. So I listened. At first, I didn't listen, Miriam. I thought, who is that? Did I really just hear that? And I looked around the room, and my whole family was sleeping. We were on a college road trip to Evanston, Illinois. And my whole family was sleeping. It was very quiet. And I looked around the room and I said, who said that? And then I heard it again, a male voice saying, I said, go get pen and paper and start writing this down. So I reached over to the nightstand by the bed, and there was something called the ThinkPad and a pen. And I covered my eyes because I wanted to be honest. I didn't want to interject my own thoughts or my own feelings into the writing. And I said, okay, shoot, tell me what you want to say. And I just started writing what I was hearing.
And what were you hearing?
What was I hearing? I was hearing all kinds of worldly things, like things about the world and science and we've been calling you, we've been screaming at you, and we're not done with you yet. And there was even one part of it that said something about Barack Obama and the world, and it ended with, we're not done with you yet, Mazel Tov.
What does that mean?
Well, I ended it, and I looked at what I wrote, and I said, Mazel Tov. I thought, whoever's talking to me said Mazel Tov, so they're connecting to being Jewish. And I thought, this is very cool. I'm going to the bookstore today, and I'm going to buy a book, and I'm going to see if this happens again.
What book did you go and buy?
I bought a thick journal, an empty journal, that I could journal what was happening.
Hmm. Did you ever read Conversations with God?
I did not. I've heard of it. I've been in the bookstore, and I picked it off the shelf, and I read a few pages. I found it interesting, and I never purchased it.
After you finished the first conversation, let's call it conversation, did you realize that you were speaking to God?
No.
So what?
No,
did you,
I had no idea.
Who did you think you were speaking to?
I didn't know. What I started to write about first, the first entry that I wrote was on April 7th, 2009, and I documented what happened, and then I started asking questions, and I wrote Lori colon, and I would write my question, and I would write question mark, and then I would write what I heard, and the question mark then became S for spirit. I thought maybe it's a spirit guide or someone surrounding me. If the voice and the words were completely loving and healing, so I wasn't afraid. And I continued on and on. And weeks into it, I heard the voice of my own father come through.
What does all this have to do with running on love?
Okay. Well, good question. Prior to this experience of the opening up spiritually, I had been running marathons for raising money for cancer. And I stumbled upon that because the organization said, you can run a marathon, we'll help you if you raise money for our charity. And the clincher was, you can honor someone you love with an act of charity and do it in their memory. And my father happened to die of cancer in 1985. And I always wanted to run a marathon, but when they said I could honor my father with an act of charity, I thought, done deal, I'll do it for love. And I started training for that marathon, and man, was that hard. I had children, I was a businesswoman with my own business, and running a marathon is not for the faint of heart. But I was running on love. That's where I came up with this expression, because when you run a marathon, you drink water, you eat food, but really the thing that propels you and keeps you going in your journey is love. And I was not going to quit. I was honoring my father with this act of charity. So now, fast forward to I'm going deaf. I had been running marathons for about 18 months at that point in time for another charity. Running on Love was not a charity. Running on Love was an obsession of mine. I thought I found the Holy Grail. This is special. Running on Love, doing charity in memory of someone that you care about, was uniquely uplifting and special. So I kept doing it. And then I was going deaf, so I was reaching for God, and I got an audible answer. And as I kept doing my journaling and asking questions, the opening, the spiritual opening, became bigger and bigger. And Miriam, I could do things that you only read about. I could do crazy things like allow spirit to come into my body and speak out of my mouth. I was doing crazy things that I was this open vessel with no filters. I thought, this is wild. God is real. I'm communicating with spirit, and I was not going to stop.
Until Running on Love was born.
Was born when, I know, get to the point. My family thought I was nuts, Miriam.
I totally understand.
Okay. But that not only did they think I was nuts, I was like Chicken Little. When I finally discovered that it was God himself speaking through me and whooping me up like this.
How did you discover that?
I could hear him crystal clear. He was so strong. His voice was so booming in my voice, and he was telling me such big things.
Did he tell you he was God?
Yes, he did.
In other words, you asked him, are you God? And he answered you, yes, I am.
I don't remember that specific question or answer. I just knew it was him. I was having visions like crystal movies. I was seeing worldly things, things from the Bible, from the Torah. I was seeing so many worldly and godly things and hearing his booming voice. But the big thing that he was telling me, and this is over 7 years ago, Miriam, the biggest thing that he was telling me was the world was going crazy. The world was very seriously ill. And he was warning me to go around and wake everybody up. So, like a good soldier, I was going around telling everybody, I'm speaking to God, and you need to wake up. So,
well, when you do this kind of thing,
yes,
normal people, quote, unquote, will definitely think that there is something majorly, majorly not right there. What happened when you started doing this?
By the time this 6 to 8 weeks into this, it was so strong and so loud, and I was so relentless that on Mother's Day of 2009, my former husband had me taken away and committed. Now, someone would say, wow, he couldn't have done that if you weren't nuts. And I'm here to tell you that I wasn't nuts. What I had was a radical spiritual awakening. It was all from God. Every last bit of it, everything I said, everything that I did was all from him and all for a reason. What he did was he took away my natural hearing and he gave me this supernatural ability to hear him and the spirit world. But what I didn't have was knowledge. I didn't have the grounding and the knowledge that exists in this world to balance the spiritual and the physical.
In other words, what you're saying is that, for example, had you been going to Hebrew school or Sunday school or a yeshiva, which is, or a seminary, which is intensive work and study of prayers and Torah and discussion and communication on the level of spiritual learning and spiritual understanding, then that would have seemed much more likely that God would be communicating with someone who has a background of knowledge of who he is, like he communicated with Moses, who was the humblest of all people, who was a shepherd, who was really, really no one. He was the son of slaves in Egypt. He was a murderer because he defended his people against slavery. Then he was one who ran away. Then he was a guy who walked around the desert. Then he became the husband of Zipporah. And then came the burning bush.
Yes.
And then came the biggest, greatest leader of all of the Jewish people ever, the one who brought us to Sinai, the one whose voice gave us the Torah, whose voice was used by God to speak the words of Torah. We stood together at Sinai. Mm-hmm. We listened to the voice of God through Moses. And the people said, I don't want to hear that. The voice of God is too great. It's too gigantic. Yeah. You speak to us. Well, here is a grand example of God using a very human to make known his will, to make known his teaching, to make known his law. We learn this law. We have prophets, we have kings, we have psalms, we have incredible, incredible literature for all humankind and in every religion. And we all have great leaders and great understanding. And we all have many, many, many voices in the world who say, no, but mine is right. No, but mine is right. But this is right and that is right. And this is love and that is war. To the point where at this stage of the game, we have hatred.
Yeah.
We have strife. We have killing. We have pain, we have murder, we have dark trying to shut out the light. A friend of mine sent me something that I think explains it all very, very well. And she writes, this is a perfect example that prejudice is taught. Babies don't know about racism. The song in the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical South Pacific says it all. You've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made and people whose skin in a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8. To hate all the people your relatives hate, you've got to be carefully taught.
Miriam, that's very poignant. And that, I believe, is why he chose me that way on that day without all the knowledge that you spoke of. You see, it's not about being Jewish as much as it is that I am a child of God I had a blank slate. With no preconceptions, I was open.
You had no prejudice.
I had no prejudice. I'm colorblind. I love everyone. I was as secular and mainstream as anyone. But what I didn't have was the knowledge of how to protect myself. You see, we are spirit having a physical experience. And when you open up spiritually, it looks nuts. Feels crazy. You don't want to come down off of cloud 9. And what is taught to you in Torah and in these practices is how to balance the physical and the non-physical. There is wisdom in this world that people of all backgrounds must understand and must know. And why did he throw me into the lion's den? He whooped me up into such a frenzy, and now, all these years later, I know it was all exactly on time and on purpose. Why? He closed my ears to open my eyes, and what I saw was that I wasn't the crazy person that everybody said I was. The world had gone insane. The prison is run by the inmates. The monkeys are running the zoo. It is nuts. And I'm not here to say anything disparaging about anyone or any group. What I'm trying to do now, 7+ years later, is to say, people of the world, wake up. Wake up. We're killing each other, we're harming each other, and we're harming each other in ways that we're not even aware we're doing. You see, the very basic information that God has given us, that some very wise people in this world have access to, needs to be disseminated and taught. And right from hello, we are getting it wrong. We do not truly understand the difference between good and evil.
And the idea of good and evil is something that if we don't distinguish, there can be no peace.
That is.
And there is no way that people can sit together and talk a language with each other. The things you talk about are, on the other end, very much like me, because you lost your hearing and I lost my voice. And when I had my 2 throat surgeries and I couldn't speak, there was only one place to go for me to get the answers of how to rebuild my voice, and that was God. And as much as you now run on love, my approach to to the voice and my approach to working with the voice and teaching the voice and rebuilding the instrument and crossing all of the lines of what is being taught in the world actually is exactly the same thing in a way, much, much, much more contained to basically people who are singers, basically people who are problems, who have problems with their speech, with their voices, that are in pain, that are in trouble. I think both of us, in our own ways and in our own conversations, have gone through very similar experiences and hear the teaching and hear the voice of God in a very special way. I've written now 10 books on the subject, and my books, in truth, are also conversations with God. And through those conversations and through this work, so much healing has been done and so much peace has come upon the people who have suffered. I think, and I know that this is how the Voice of Peace, this show, was born, because on the 5th of May, I received a very important international prize called the Vir di Mura in Italy. And all of a sudden, from the conversation of the voice and speaking to people and what this prize was all about, the voice of peace was given to me. And when I met you, and over the months that I was traveling, this idea crystallized in my head to take what you know and who you are and what your experience is and bring it to the world, because my work is already very, very much established in the business, in the field of vocal pedagogy and voice in the world. What you have to say and your constant and continual work is something that people need to hear. We live in a time where we hear many voices. We hear voices that propose to be good. We hear voices that are completely, completely speaking, acting on the advice of the evil inclination. And we want to change that. And we want to bring an awareness to the goodness. And we want to bring out in people that which is the goodness of humanity, the goodness and the love of mankind. You ran for love for your father.
Yeah.
You marathoned for your father's memory.
Yeah.
I tried to do something for the legacy of my parents, and that was taken away from me, a pain that I will never, never overcome. However, We're running on a marathon together. Now, you're still running for your father.
Oh, definitely.
And I'm still running and will run and will continue to run for my parents. And in both of our cases, and in so many people who are out there listening to us and will continue to listen to us and will call us and will talk to us, hopefully, please God, and share their conversations.
Yes.
And hear your conversations with God.
Yes. I have to answer your question and come full circle. What is running on love? How did it come into being? Well, after this experience, I landed where I landed, and then I shook myself off. And
How long did it take for you to get out of the mental institution?
6 days, and I refused all medication. And when I got out, I said, "I'm not crazy. This is spiritual." So what did I do? I started learning. I picked up books. I picked up the Bible. I said, there's something going on here. I know this is real. And I started my journey. And then I did a very selfish thing. I formed a charity called Running on Love. Why? Because giving is a source of joy. And I knew if I focused on giving and helping others, I would stop worrying about going deaf and my own problems, and I would be focused outwardly. So it was really a selfless but selfish thing to do, because running on love and caring and giving to others is an upliftment of our own soul. So that's what I was doing, is helping others that needed more help than I did.
Very, very, quote unquote, Jewish thing to give. It's written in the Torah that it is mandatory to give. To give materially and spiritually and of yourself in every possible way. And the idea of chesed, the idea of doing good deeds, is certainly the best way that you could possibly do. So I invite everyone to go to Lori Michelle's site on Facebook. It's called Running on Love. And I invite everyone to come and be with us again next week on Tuesday night, 8 o'clock Israel time, 1 o'clock
Eastern Standard,
1 o'clock Eastern
New Jersey
Standard time, New Jersey. And I can only hope and pray that our journey will become your journey, and together we will continue with love our conversations with God. Be blessed.